As God continues to bless our life, you and I need to really focus on this living in a moment. Now, all you have to do is pay close attention to your individual everyday life, because everything happens in a split second, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. If bad, good, whatever, it just seems to appear. So therefore, God says, I want you to live in the moment. I want you to realize that I have given you this very moment in which you live. And because I've given it to you, I want you to do something with it. Now, don't you dare take that moment that God has given you on this day or any other day and hide it or don't live it. God gives you the moment to live. Live life. Do life. Love life. Focus on your life. Don't be focusing on everybody else and their mistakes. Promise you have enough of your own to deal with. And then I tell you this point. Give it to the Lord. Whatever is going on in your life, give it to the Lord. Good, the bad, the ugly, give it to the Lord. God says, I love you so much, I care about you so much, I want to hear from your heart, and I will share my heart as the answer for your situation. We're living in an evil, godless world. You've figured that out, I'm sure. An evil and a godless world. God says so. Because when sin comes in, sin corrupts. Sin has corrupted God's world. Why does God hate sin so much? Because of what sin does to the ones he loves so much, you and me. The human race is the most honored of all creation. God created us in his image, and he loves us as a family. Well, he even sent Jesus for us to become family members, where we could be one in Christ as Jesus is in God, so we shall be in Jesus and God. We shall be one. You're to have the power. You'll to be given the courage. You cannot, in your human condition, be ready for every situation that goes on in your life, no more than any of us could in combat. There's going to be situations that appear. There are going to be enemies that pop up that you weren't trained to deal with. God says, me in you, and I will take care of all of the bad situations in your life. It doesn't mean you won't go through bad situations. It simply means you don't go through those situations on your own. God said, I want you to pay attention in this evil and godless world in which you live, that I am still in control. I want us to look at three questions for us to give today the answer to. Answered for yourself. Number one, what evils have I contributed? In this evil world, what evils have I contributed? And I pulled out a scripture that's going to deal with the worst type of sin for Christians to be involved with. In this scripture, pay attention to your own individual life. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. My people, says God, have done two evil things. They have forsaken me. Now you're talking about God's people. You're talking about, for our generation, God's church, where Christians forsake God. You see, when you forsake God, meaning you back away from God's call, from God's direction for your life, when you back away from that, then you have committed evil. You have contributed to evil for others. My people have done two evil things. They have forsaken me. Now, why would I say that we forsake God? Because of life. Satan is quite deceitful. Satan will put up shiny objects for you to look at. And while you're looking at those shiny objects, he will hypnotize you and let you know that things make a difference. Things don't make a difference. Things break. Things fall apart. Well, here's something interesting. When you get caught up in things, you break along with them. You fall apart along with them. We have enough trouble right now in our own individual lives trying to focus our life on what is right. And Satan is out there shining all the little flickery pretty things. Oh, I love lights. I love going to carnivals. I remember early in our marriage and all, Faye and I hit every roller coaster that existed. We started in a place called Fountain Ferry Park. Gone now, but some of you may remember that out of Louisville. And I took my sister-in-law, the youngest. She was about 9 or 10 years old at the time. Never been on a roller coaster or any of those kind of rides. I made my other sister-in-law, Judy, sick on the tilty whirl. Yeah, I just loved my family, and I loved making them sick with me on those things like that. And anyway, Penny had never been on it. She gets on it, and it's all I could do to hold her in it going down the first hill. I never heard such screaming in all my life. We get up, and I'm thinking, you know, I'll never, ever get her on another ride, ever. And we finally zoom around and come to a landing up there. And the first thing out of her mouth, can we do it again? Can we do it again? See, life is that way, is it not? Isn't life just like a roller coaster? Well, God said, I want you to live life, but I want you to pay attention to what's important in your life. Don't forsake me. And here's what else they did. And they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. What does that all of this mean? It means they have chosen their own way. When we look and we read the scripture and we say, this is what God says, but I know a better way. I know a better way to get to the finish line. I know I have a better opportunity to do it this way. And God, here's my plan. Now, I want you to bless it. You thank God he won't. You got me? Because the only plan that's truly going to work for you in your life is God's plan. There's only one way to an eternal peace. His name is Jesus Christ. When you say yes to him, accept him as Lord and Savior of your life, in that very moment, you count it as you're already there. That's God's word. And God tells us, you pay attention to me, but you go out here digging your own path, digging your own cisterns. What are you going to put in it? Maybe the water of life doesn't taste that good, and you're going to mix something in it. You can't mix it. And no, bourbon doesn't change it or anything else like that. You see, God says, I am the best drink of water you'll ever have. Don't dig your own cisterns. Don't go your own way. You want to be successful in life? Go with the one who created your life, who created success, and created success just for you. Don't leave God out. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care all the things that you have, because you'll have nothing when the time comes for this spirit to leave me. I'm leaving this world just like I came in it, without anything and naked. That's right. I will leave this world. So all the things don't matter. You know what matters? You all. Other people. That's what matters. So we look at life and we see what the evil is, and then we notice, have I contributed to that evil? Do I contribute to that? God says, here's what I want you to contribute to the world, to those people who are going to meet you. I want you to contribute who I created you to be. I don't want you pretending. I don't want you to decide that you have to be like someone else. For one thing, you can't be. Now, I'm not the only one of a kind. Everybody is one of a kind. God says, I only make one of you. You are an individual. But God created you to be an individual, and He loves your personality. He gave it to you. Some of you are grouches. I love grouches. Some of my best friends are grouches. Aren't they, Renee? Some of them are just grouches. I love grouches. Some of your closest friends. It's the idea of our personalities intertwining and us loving each other the way we are. Don't change. Don't go. And ladies, when you hook into that good hunk of man that you're wanting to marry and you think there's no other like him whatsoever, and if he's so precious and everything right now, why are you wanting to change him later? Husbands, you do the same thing. If she was that fox then, she's the same fox. She just looks a little nicer with the gray. Why do you want to change? See what we fall in love with and who we fall in love with. See who God matches us with. And you appreciate that personality in your life. I try to be calm and quiet in my marriage. And Faye gets a little loud sometimes. But outside of that, you see what I mean? Opposites attract, personalities like that. Because we need one another. And God created you to be who you are. So be who you are. Just make sure that you keep God in that who you are. Next, what good should I contribute? That's a good question for us. What good should I contribute? Here you go. Contribute you. Contribute who you are. After all, is that not who we fall in love with? Who they are? Contribute to real you there. Be yourself, but be compassionate in being yourself. Reach out to those who are hurting. If the world is going great for you, things are going good at this moment for you, go ahead and weep with ones who things have fallen or collapsed in their life. You be all things to all men that you might win a few. Meaning, feel their pain. Give them hope through who you are. Listen to this. Philippians 2 verse 15. I'm reading from the Message version here. Go out into the world uncorrupted. The world is corrupted. You go out in it uncorrupted. And you are going to be a big part by being you to change the corruption in the world and let, listen to it, be a breath of fresh air. Yeah, a lot of people are a breath of fresh air to me. They start smiling. It just makes me feel good. They start fussing at me, and I think, oh, gosh, I love those folks. A breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Well, you don't deny that one, do you? Provide people, here you go, with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Good living has nothing to do with being perfect. Has nothing to do with somebody that doesn't make mistakes. If you get around someone that tells you they no longer make mistakes, you get away from them because that's a mistake for you to hang out with them. You hear me? Because we are all flawed. We are all broken in some area. That's why God puts us together. Maybe in that particular area, I'm not broken, and I can help you in your brokenness, because I guarantee you, when you live long enough, everything just about in your human existence will be broken at some point or another. It's how we come up out of that ditch of life that's going to make a difference. But when I go out in the world, or you go out with a smile on your face, because you got a power of a living God that's watching, and that you be the light for someone else. You point that light towards Christ. You let Jesus know you're proud to serve him. It doesn't matter what they think. Somebody's watching. So you go out and you lift your heart and you lift the smile. You let the world see Jesus in you. Sound like a good song, Brother Randy. Let others see that Jesus in you. You be the person Jesus created. He didn't give you that personality you have to waste it. If you're going to be a grouch, be a good one. But be one that loves your fellow man. Oh, Lord, why did I have to be friends with Larry? Why couldn't I be? Lord, I love you, Lord, and I want to serve you, but why did you send him around me? He's messed up. You see what I mean? That's why God sends us, and that's why God sends others to you. That's God's plan. God says, provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night. The light-giving message into the night. That sounds like a sermon I'm going to end up preaching or something. That light-giving message. God says he is the light. Jesus says he's the light. And that light-giving message is the hope, promise of today, hope for tomorrow. It is the peace that the world is looking for. Therefore, you go out into this evil, godless world, and you shine the light of Christ. Let them see hope in your actions. Maybe you're eat up with cancer. You know, it's not easy to smile when you got a bunch of cancers eating you alive. It's not. But you know something? You can smile. Lord, it's all in your hands. And then you smile at the world. Oh, it's not that you enjoy pain. I guarantee you, you don't. But you can still be of service to others that are getting ready to fight that battle. How are you going to show them how to fight it? Do you not lift up the light of the world. Jesus says, follow me. I'll take care of it. Now, does that mean then that you're going to win every battle with those cancers? And most of you know your pastor had five. It's the grace of God that I stand here. By the power of God, I continue to be able to preach. But you see, you and I take whatever the sickness is or the illness, and you don't sit in the corner saying, woe is me. You don't have to be a Marine to do that. You don't sit like that. You stand with the light of Christ in you. And he said, though I die and this disease kills me, I want to give you a smile and a hug around the neck and a pat on the back, because there's victory in Jesus. Amen. Death cannot overwhelm a follower of Christ, because the Lord says, I will never see death. I will be out of this body before it hits the floor with a Savior that'll love me forevermore, with a peace that surpasses all understanding, with a God that looks at me and he loves me just like I am. The Christ who loves you for who you are. He knows what you can become. Not only that, he'll make the road clear. His promise says he'll move the mountains. You know that big ugly monster? It might not be your husband, ladies, but that big ugly monster that's blocking your path, that's your Goliath. My God moves Goliaths. My God is a God of love. But listen to me, that means my God loves me. And my God puts the love in me that I can love you, the love in you that you can love me. And together, who can beat us as the church? For the Lord says, when my church stands together, all of life will hear. It is the word of God that's going to change this wicked generation. Everybody's looking for an answer to the violence. Did you see how many killings in Louisville just in one day the other day? Time after time. And people say, what do we do? What do we do? We look on the inside, folks. You set up, they can set up all the programs they want to set up. But until the peace comes within the heart of man, there will be continued evil. Therefore, we pray for the peace for the heart of the most vile. When the most vile's heart is given to Christ and the change is made, they're no longer vile. They're a brother or a sister. Don't we understand? Well, here's your key. How do we do it? You ready? Use the church key. Trust Jesus. That's your church key. Trusting Jesus. He's the key to everything going on in your life. You trust yourself. You trust the good books. That's fine. Read your good books. No problem with that. But you put your trust in the Lord who loves you. That's your church key. You trust Jesus. When you trust in him, he will carry you through. It doesn't matter the battles that you're fighting. It doesn't matter the viciousness of your enemy. You put your trust in Jesus. Jesus always makes you victorious. Always makes you victorious. John 16, verse 33. This is Jesus. By trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. I got a peace in me that runs so deep, I can't even get to the bottom of it. It doesn't matter to me what hits me physically or any of that. The cancers or anything else. You matter to me. Hearing the word. Getting the voice of Christ across to where people can carry that voice in their own heart. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. Guaranteed. But take heart. Now you got to hear this. I have conquered the world. That's Jesus. What does he mean? He's personal. Whatever that problem is in your life, that's your world. Do you get it? You live in your own little world. You come out into this big world, it's full of little worlds and everybody's problems get together. But he says, but take heart, I've conquered the world. Meaning I have conquered it for you. I've already won for you. What it is that's coming against you has no authority because I have conquered this violent world for you. Getting Jesus in the heart of the human race is the answer. Well, preacher, how do we do that? Be you with a smile on your face. You hear me? Be yourself with a grin in your heart, with love on your tongue, with an expression of I care in your demeanor. Be you. Well, whoever you are, be yourself. Just put the love of Christ ahead of you. That smile will brighten. Your eyes will see the light, but others will see Jesus in you. And then they will say, there's something different about you. What is it? That's how you witness. When others see something different in you, if you are acting like them, they're not going to see a difference. They're not going to ask. But when they see the difference and they ask the question, do you know what that opportunity is? That's a witnessing opportunity. It's not a witnessing opportunity when you grab the Bible and slap somebody upside the head with it, tell them they're going to hell. That is not the way to witness. But when they ask you what's made you different, they just open the door for you to share your difference. Well, Jesus did this for me, and he can do it for you. Listen to 1 John 5:5. Oh, this is powerful. And who can win this battle against the world? Only. Do you hear that, only? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They are the winners. You see, I've already won. You know Jesus, you've already won. You think the world is tough? Ha! That part of the world just hadn't experienced Jesus yet. You talk about tough. Jesus hung on a cross until he died a horrible death for every human being that would ever live. Whosoever would call on his name, in order for him to do that, he had to experience the pain of their life. He had to experience their death. And he had to conquer it all. Jesus conquered it for me. If I get to the battlefront, I don't have anything to fight. The battle was already won. He did it on the cross. You know what really brings a smile to my face? Jesus knows my name. I'll tell Jesus on you in a heartbeat. Jesus knows my name. It's personal, and you're personal to Him. He is the only God. He is your God. He is the God of this life that you're looking for. Trust Him. Believe in Him. For in Him is the peace. The victory is already won. That's God's word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the blessings and the joy of the salvation that you give us. The peace, dear Heavenly Father, that you bring us. I thank you for that peace. Help us now, Father, to realize and to understand the great love that you have for us supersedes any evil that could ever come our way. Touch us. Let us go through this week ahead and with a smile on our face, touching the hearts that you send our way, lifting them up, giving them the joy of knowing that you are Lord. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.